Hi, I'm RJ, and this week we'll be diving into the source code of websites, particularly HTML. Recall that HTML stands for Hypertext Markup Language, and is used to define the structure and content of a website. I'll start by reviewing a few of the HTML tags we saw in lecture, and then we'll look at a series of examples. In addition, we'll discuss the tools you can use to explore websites you visit online in order to peek under the hood at their underlying HTML. So let's talk about a few elements typically used for layout in web pages. Recall that div and span tags are used for separating the content of your web page. The main difference is that the span tag is an inline element. Content and span tags do not get separated from the content around them, whereas divs are block-level elements, and they do. So as an aside, the examples we do today will be in text edit. So I make them HTML files, and so if I double-click them naturally, they'd open in Google Chrome, my web browser. So I have to right-click and say Open With, and on a Mac, click Text Edit. But on a PC, you'd probably click Notepad. In addition, Text Edit on the Mac is a little aggressive, and it would try to show this as a web page. So you have to go into Preferences and tell it to display HTML files as HTML code instead of formatted text. Notepad on the PC, you don't have to do that. So here we have some HTML that I've typed up. Make it a little bit bigger. So we can see that we have an H1 tag, which is just note that that's the header a header text tag. It denotes big text. You can have increasingly smaller text with H2, H3, H3 4, et cetera, up through H6. And I also have a span with color red, and it says there. And I also have a div that says color red there. In another section, we'll talk more about these styles to change the color of your text, for example. But here, I'm just making the color red so we can see where the span is and where the div is. So here's our HTML. If I now double-click this example file to open it in Chrome, we can see that the top one, which was the span, is inline. Hi there is all on one line. Whereas the one with the div, hi there, is on two lines, because the div breaks up the element. So looking back at the example, also notice that the tags are closed in the reverse order that they're opened. So we open an H1 tag, then we open the span tag, then we close the span tag, and then we close the H1 tag. We'll talk later about how to check to make sure that that you're doing this correctly, but you have to make sure that you close any tag that you've opened before you try to close a wrapper tag around that. To display a list of elements, you can use the UL tag with LI tags inside. UL stands for unordered list. There's also OL for ordered list. And as a result, we'll see a bolded list. So here, I have a UL with these LI tags inside, and I just have something and something else. So let's take a look at what happens when I open this example. So here we have something and, well, something else, and now there's a third bullet. That doesn't look quite right. Let's see what happened. If I go back to the HTML here, we can see that I forgot to close this second LI. I accidentally opened a new LI, and that resulted in the blank bullet point we saw before. Chrome was nice and didn't just crash and panic when I forgot to close something, but it does try to figure things out. So if I close this LI now and save, and I reopen it, we can see that we only have the two bullets that I meant to show. So those are lists, which are useful for laying out a list of elements. So the table element is another useful element. This one's a bit more complex. First, we have the main table tag, and then a series of TR, or table row tags. And in each of those, there are TD, or table data tags. So in this example, we have one row with one thing that says, hello there, a second row that says, hello there again, a third row that says, hi, and hi, and hi. And each of these are going to be in their own column, because they're three separate TDs. And a fourth row that says, by, and by, and by. Again, each word by being in its own TD. So if we go over to Chrome to see what this example looks like, we can see that, as I mentioned, hello there again, just four rows that we expect to see in this table. There's a few things we should talk about. First are these inline attributes. In this case, call span equals 3 is an attribute of this TD tag. Most attributes that sort of used to exist, the older ones, like color and size, have been relegated to CSS, as we'll talk about in another section, and are designed for styling your text and your other elements. But some are still useful. So in this case, I'm saying that I want this TD to span 3 columns. If we go back to the example, the first one, hello there, fills up a whole column, and every row below it lines up with that. So this first hi has extra white space to line up with that column. But this second hello there again doesn't have that same effect because we've said that it will span 3 columns. So it fills up the first column, and then it's allowed to spill over into the second column, and it's even then allowed to spill over into the third column if it needs to. One more thing to note is that the white space in the HTML doesn't matter. So here, I've put TD high, TD high, TD high, all on one line. And I've put TD by, TD by, TD by, all on different lines. But they render exactly the same in the browser, just one row of the table. So it might be easier to read the one element per line, but the browser doesn't actually care. So for that reason, I included the white space so that I could more easily change and debug my HTML. So I hope that refresher was helpful. Learning these sorts of things comes easiest from looking at examples and trying it yourself. So let me recommend a few resources. HTMLDog.com is a website that has a lot of tutorials, like the ones I've shown, including examples to look at. So if you click the Examples tab, they'll show you a lot of basic examples. And then you can actually view the source code of these pages. So if you right-click in Chrome or Internet Explorer or Firefox, and click View Page Source, it will show you the source code of this web page. So we can see here how these H1 tags work. Similarly, this website has lots of examples and lots of tutorials explaining how these tags work. So if you want to learn how to use headers, or how to change font size, or how to use links, for example, you can see that on a site like HTMLDog. Another website that has a lot of examples is W3 Schools. So on w3schools.com, we can see all sorts of resources for learning HTML. And the great thing about W3 Schools is that they have a cool interactive editor. So you can actually click Try It Yourself on a lot of their examples, and it will give you a place to modify code. And then if I change this one to say, my name is RJ, and if I click Submit Code, on the right, it shows you what this HTML would look like. So some of W3 Schools' examples are a little out of date, but most of them are up-to-date and useful for learning and exploring HTML. Modern browsers like Chrome, Firefox, and Internet Explorer allow you to look at the source code of a web page, as we've seen. But in addition, you can often look at the source code at the same time as the rendered HTML, so you can look and see which HTML tags correspond to which visual elements on the page. So I'll demonstrate. If in Chrome you right-click and click Inspect Element, Chrome will bring up a bar that shows you the HTML of the page. As you move over elements, it will highlight in the main browser window which element it corresponds to. So if I want to figure out how they made this text examples the way they did, I can drill down until it highlights the word examples. And we can see that examples is an H1 tag. And we can see, too, that it highlights it in the browser. If there's a particular element I want to look at, I can right-click that element and say Inspect Element, and it will bring me right to that element. So we can see here that this headings is an A tag, or a link tag, inside of an LI, a list item, inside of a UL, which is inside of this section. So using that technique, we can explore various websites and see how they made their website look the way they did, or at least get it how they laid it out. So let's look at a few examples. Here we're on the Harvard C's website, c's.harvard.edu, and I was curious as to how they made this nice navigation bar, where there's different subcategories and they're all next to each other. And you might think by looking at it that it might be some sort of UL because there's bulleted lists, and you'd probably be right, but let's confirm that. So I right-click and do Inspect Element. We can see that, indeed, each of these items is an anchor tag or a link tag inside of a list item inside of a UL. But we can also see that this entire set of items is a UL itself. And so each section is its own list item. So the first section, About C's, that's a list item. And if we go to the next one, Academics is a list item. And Faculty and Research is a list item. And in each of these, we have another list that has each of the individual bullets. And so I wasn't sure how they did it, but you can actually dig deeper and see how they do it that way. Another example here we have is Hacker News, or news.ycombinator.com. It's a fun website with startup news and other tech news on it. It looks kind of basic, but I'm just curious, how do they get this sort of layout? So again, we can right-click on any element in particular, or just the page itself, and say Inspect Element. And we can see that this, on the other hand, is a giant table. So we have one giant table, and we have a lot of TRs and TDs. And if I look at this one in particular, we can see that each table row corresponds to one of these links. Then there's a number in a TD, and then there's an image in a TD for the up arrow. Happens to be a link with a with an image inside of it. If I keep boiling down deeper, we can see that this TD had a center tag, and then an A tag, and then an image tag. I will say that the center tag is discouraged these days in place of CSS, but this page happens to use it. So this is for the image. If we keep going, we have a TD for the title, which is again a link with the title, and then a TD for, as part of that TD for the title, we have a span with a URL. So if we look some more at Hacker News, we can see that they actually use the BG color attribute for this header bar, this orange header bar. And the BG color attribute, as I may have mentioned earlier, has been discouraged, or actually deprecated, by the governing body that manages the HTML specification. What that means is future browsers don't have to support it. So right now, Chrome is being nice and is rendering this bar as orange, but it might act in the future as if this element, this attribute, doesn't even exist. And you can see that by deleting it, I've gotten rid of the orange header bar. And it has no background color at all and just shows the color of what's behind it. Another nice thing that I demonstrated there is you can actually, in this Inspect Element panel, modify the HTML just to see if you want to see how things might look with a different background color or a different type of tag, an H1 or an H2, by double-clicking and typing and changing it. So let's look at one more sort of complex example before we move on. This is CSE1 Discuss, a site you're hopefully familiar with through having been in this course. We can look around and see how it's laid out. So if we right-click and inspect element as before, we can see that there's a big div for the content, and there's a big div for the inbox controls. We can see that it highlights the buttons up top. And if I move through, there's a div for the form, or there's a form for the form, I should say, and there's a div for all the inbox elements. There's another div, a lot of nested divs, and then there's a table. So as you might expect, the inbox is actually laid out as a table. And each row happens to be one element where we have, and I can keep drilling down, a div for the checkbox, an image for the gray eye, an image for the open or closed tooltip, a span for the labels, a span for the title, and a span for the summary, the first line of text. And this sort of drilling down you can do on any page you like, but if you wanted to see how Discuss was laid out, you would do it like this. So again, lots of tables on the Discuss inbox. So finally, when writing your own HTML, you may have trouble figuring out why things don't look quite right or why the browser is rendering things differently than you'd expect. So in Chrome, as I mentioned, you can modify the HTML in place in the Inspect Element panel. So here, if I open the Inspect Element panel on our little toy example from earlier, and I'm just not sure why this text is so big, I can change the H1 tag to an H2 tag, and Chrome nicely changes the matching tag to match. And if I hit Enter, we can see that the text shrunk because I changed it from H1 to H2. Similarly, if I change this inline style from color red to color green, Chrome will change and reflect that it's now green. So you can actually change the HTML in place in Chrome's Inspect Element panel. However, this doesn't save. So any changes you decide that you like, you'll have to go back to your HTML file and save in your text editor. So in addition, you can validate your HTML to confirm that things are meeting the specification by passing it through the W3 validator, which is located at validator.w3.org. So it allows you to type in a URL if you happen to have a website you want to check, or you can upload an HTML file, or you can just type one in. So if I type in an HTML file, starting with a doc type, as we mentioned in lecture, and then adding in some just basic HTML. Let me copy it in from our example earlier. I'll use the UL example. So if I copy and paste that in, I'll have to close my body tag and close the HTML tag. Let's see what happens. I can click check. Oh, and we see one error and three warnings. If I scroll down a bit, the error is the element head is missing a required instance of child element title. Actually, the error is I'm missing the head entirely. So you'll notice that I included the body, but I didn't include head. So I include head and a title, and I close the title, and then I close the head, I can now recheck the page. And this document was successfully checked as HTML5. I've done everything I have, the minimum I have to do, at least, to show a page. There are plenty of tags I could have included, but as long as I have a head and a title and a body, and I open and close them all properly, the validator will approve your site. So today we did a lot. We covered a quick refresher of some standard HTML tags, talked about useful resources for viewing tutorials or seeing more examples, and learned how to use our web browser to look at how our favorite sites are put together. I hope that this section has given you the tools you need to start writing your own web pages, and I look forward to seeing what you come up with. My name is RJ, and this was a tour of HTML.